All right, good to be in God's house this morning. Amen. And I don't know about you, but on a day like today, I'm just grateful that we have a nice, dry, comfortable, heated or air-conditioned place for us to assemble together in the house of God. So when Pastor Gravely said that the Lawsons were not going to be able to be here today, I scribbled down about another 45 minutes of preaching. I wanted to make sure that we took advantage of that. No, I'm just teasing. Amen. And I do know how it is, and I'm sure Pastor Gravely does too, and some of you other preachers. I do know how it is sometimes when you're left to fill in the time. That's not a real comfortable position. I preached homecomings, I preached watch night services for Brother Langston for 1990. The first one I preached was 1995, and I preached them until last year. And of course, Brother Langston canceled those watch night services last year, and so I was not there in 2026. I was in 2025. And after the first couple of years, I missed one or two for various reasons, but in those years, after the first couple of years, I became the 11 o'clock preacher. Sometimes it was 11:10, but my instructions were extremely clear. You're done at 5 till 12. Now, I understood that. They want to pray in the new year, have time to get down to the altar. We understand the conclusion. But I also understood the other unsaid statement. You can't finish at 20 minutes till. Amen. I was at Pleasant Hill when Brother Biddle was there in a watch night service one night, and they'd preached six men, and there was 400 people in a 300-seat auditorium, and you couldn't even get up and go to the restroom. And it was miserable from a physical perspective. Spiritually, it was good, but it was miserable spiritually. And it was about 20 to 12, maybe 25 to 12, when the last preacher finished that night that was scheduled, and Brother Biddle got up and he said, now, you know, you got to remember the crowd he was preaching to, and he said, how many of you believe in pastoral authority? You know, that's like throwing red meat in a lion's cage. And yeah, glory to God, there's a hooping and a hollering and a shouting. I think they thought he was fixing to preach, and he said, he looked at his watch and he said, the pastor said it's midnight. And we beat the drunks to Shoney's that night down here on Battlefield Parkway. Say amen right there. So that was a blessing. Good to be back at Bible. Amen. Appreciate another opportunity to be with you on Homecoming Sunday. And man, I just appreciate the goodness of the Lord that allows us to worship together. And man, I stand here today in awe that God has not forsaken, and God is still faithful. And because God has not forsaken and God is still faithful, there remains a bright light on Tally Avenue. Amen. 65 years that light has shined forth in the darkness of Rossville and the surrounding community. I'm glad there's a place where sinners can still know and learn and find out that there is a remedy for sin. Amen? And I say praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's find our place. Acts chapter number 26, if you would, is my text this morning. Acts 26, thank you for the motel accommodations and the basket there. After Brother Gravely throwed Sister Gravely under the bus this morning, he might want to use the Lawson's motel room tonight. And it might be more comfortable than the doghouse, amen? But nevertheless, thank you for the great accommodations. We are missing one of our children today. I do hope you'll pray for him. My oldest son, Will, is concluding a mission trip in Bulgaria. This is his last Sunday. He's been there almost 2.5 weeks now. He'll be flying back on Friday. And they've had a pretty successful time there in the project that he went to be a part of, a massive food distribution. The last I heard, they have distributed about 40,000 pounds of flour. And with that, they've distributed, I don't know how many gallons of oil. They're giving out flour and oil in a very poor section of Bulgaria amongst the Turkish gypsies working through the local churches that are there. So anyway, he's got about 3 more work days, I guess, ahead of him, and then flying back be his first time coming back to the States and through immigration and customs by himself. And so you pray for him in that regard. He's managed to get over there and clear customs and immigration. And so he would probably like to get back. So y'all remember him when he prays, and hopefully this government shutdown garbage won't affect him too much when he tries to come back through customs and border when he gets back to Atlanta. So thank you for your prayers for him. All right, in the book of Acts this morning, the book of Acts, I wanna pick up, and I think you probably know the content and the context of the passage that lies before us this morning. The Apostle Paul is incarcerated, and there's several things that has taken place. Felix incarcerated him. Festus had examined him, and then King Agrippa comes to town, and because Paul had appealed to Caesar, he's given an audience with Agrippa, and that takes place in the conclusion of chapter 25 and into chapter number 26. And what I'm preaching from, or lifting a little thought from this morning on this homecoming Sunday, will fall in the midst of that conversation between Paul and Agrippa. And of course, you know the conclusion of that conversation is that great statement that was made where Paul said, where Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian." And Paul's conclusion of that matter was, "I would that you were not almost, but altogether." Amen. And so I want to pick up reading. Paul's giving his testimony, and he's giving that testimony publicly in the audience of these officials and these authorities. And he's talked about how that he persecuted the saints before he met Christ. But look in verse number 13, please. The Bible said, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." Reading there through verse number 23. My interest on this 65th homecoming service today, anniversary of this great church here in Rossville, Georgia, is in verse number 22. Now I want to let this little thought out, if the Lord will help us, for just a few minutes, where the Apostle Paul makes this statement, and see if you couldn't apply it today to Bible Baptist Church. See if you couldn't apply it to your own Christian life. But the Apostle Paul said in verse number 22, just this phrase, he said, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." Amen. Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue unto this day. Looking, standing here on the 65th anniversary of this church, my thought today is this: I'm preaching on so far, so good. Amen. You ever ask anybody how they're doing, you know, especially on a journey? Sometimes when I'm making a driving journey, Melissa will message me. If she's not able to be with me, she'll message me and she'll say, "How you doing? Where you at? How you getting along?" You know, she's trying to make sure that I hadn't fallen asleep going down the interstate. Y'all understand that? And that my response is very often those exact words, so far, so good. Amen. And that may I say, as a church this morning, as you stand here, you can look back on the 65 years that have preceded you in history, and you can say, so far, so good. Amen. That we are continuing in this hour to do what God has instructed us to do. Now, Paul acknowledges in this text, first of all, that his help comes from God. Amen. And you and I have to understand that this morning. Without God, we're nothing. I know that's a cliche statement, and sometimes we throw those phrases around without any meaning or without any principle, but I'm telling you that without God, we might as well pack up and go to the house. Without God, we might as well shut the door and sell the facility. Without God, we might as well leave the ministry and go back to doing whatever we did in the secular world, because without God, it's not that we cannot proceed some, it is that we cannot proceed at all. It is about God. So Paul said, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Now I want you to notice that as Paul acknowledges his help coming from God, that he mentions some things that just might have been the reason that God stepped in to help. Amen. These are just introductions. Let me give them to you, see if they make sense. Number one, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, God helps me because I've been delivered by the Master. Amen. Paul's giving a testimony how that on that Damascus road, that light shone down from heaven, and that voice spoke to him out of the clouds and said, Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And that day, the Apostle Paul got birthed into the family of God, got born again by the grace of God. And from that hour, he's had a companion that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. And may I say to you, if you're born again, if God has reached down and rescued you out of the pits of hell and from sin's power, then you can rest assured he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. In the second chapter of 2 Timothy, there's a great passage of scripture. The Apostle Paul speaks to Timothy about those naysayers. He speaks about those false teachers. That's the context of the great admonition to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He is showing them that they need to be able to discern truth, and they can only discern truth by making themselves familiar with the truth that is in the Word of God. And he talks about those false teachers and the damage, the cankerous sore that they'll be to the body of Christ. But then the Lord said through the voice of Paul, he said, nevertheless, at the foundation of the Lord stand assured, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. Boy, I'm glad that God has made us a promise that he will not forsake his own. So Paul said, I had help because I have been delivered by the Master. Then Paul might have said this. He said, I've had help because I was not a disobedient minister. I like the way Paul flipped that thing. And he said in verse number 19, he said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Now, part of that vision had to do with his salvation. But part of that vision had to do with his service. You see, on the day God saved Paul, he commissioned Paul. He saved him, and then he said, I'm sending you. Must have been a shock for a Jewish boy. He said, I'm sending you to be a light unto the Gentiles. And may I say to you that in the book of Acts chapter 18 is when Paul said, henceforth, he was at Corinth, and he said, henceforth I go to the Gentiles. That didn't come as a surprise, because God had already given him a vision, and Paul declares, I was not disobedient to that vision. May I say that when you're walking in obedience, God's hand will ever be present to help. Somebody say amen right there. Bob Jones Sr. once said that concerning those women the Bible talked about that were present on Resurrection Sunday. Bob Jones Sr. said, you know, they were at the tomb and the Lord told them to go into the village or the city and to tell his disciples that he had risen, and they left the tomb, they left the garden, and they were running toward the city, and suddenly the scripture said they were met by the Master, and they knelt down and they hailed him and they worshiped him, and they were the first ones after his resurrection and that got to touch him and that got to worship him. He had come through, spoke to Mary Magdalene, wouldn't let her touch him, but then having finished the work of redemption, he walked into those individuals walking down the street, and they got to hold him and they got to worship him, because the task was finished. And Bob Jones Sr. said that saints running in the way of obedience are most often met by the Master. Hey, if you want God's help, if you need God's hand, then may I say, don't be disobedient to the vision, to the call, to the admonition, to the commandment that God has given you. Then number three, the Apostle Paul might have said this. He said, God's helped me because he delivered me, because I wasn't disobedient. But then he might have taken notice that God's helped him because there's a depraved multitude. In verse number 20, Paul talks about how God spoke to him. And he said, I showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles. It's often been said that missions, and that's a broad term, is the heartbeat of God. I think you can narrow that down. And you can say this, that sinners are the heartbeat of God. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. May I say, if you are busy at doing God's business, and God's business is soul business, a saving business, if you're busy doing God's business, then you can count on God at taking care of you. May I say, God will never do anything, he'll never require anything of you that he will not foot the bill for. Amen. I remember when I worked in the corporate world many years ago, 25, 28 years ago now, I guess it's been longer than that. I was on a project team. We'd finished up a major milestone. Looked like we was going to get a break from those 75-hour work weeks. I got called into a meeting. My boss called me in and she said, Dwayne, we've got a new assignment for you. And I knew one would come, but I hadn't even had a couple days off yet. I'd give my team time off. I was wrapping up the loose ends. And she said, this is what they want you to do. And I said, all right. And I said, when's it going to start? And she said, yesterday. And I said, all right, how long have we got? And it was a very short window of time. Made me mad. I said, I don't think we can do that. She said, we didn't get an option. You've got to do it. I'll just be honest. I walked away with a mindset that I might hang it up. This might be the end of the road. I'd had some consulting companies calling me and maybe had a different job offer. I was finished if they was going to require it on that short order. Well, I no longer got back to my desk, and my phone rang, and on the other end was my boss's 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 secretary. His name was Bob Nelson, and the secretary said, hey, Dwayne, Bob wants to take you to lunch tomorrow. I thought, well, now's my chance. All right, I'll get to tell him, because he's the one that gave the orders. I'll get to tell him what I think about his assignment. So I went down with him to the Mexican restaurant, and we sat down across the table, and he knew I was a preacher, so he told me how he listened to his cassette Bible on the way to the office every morning, even allowed me to pray over lunch. I mean, he was doing every bit of butter up he could do. Somebody say amen right there. They brought and took our orders. They brought the chips out to the table. And he looked over at me and he said, let's just get straight to it. He said, I understand you're not real happy about the job I've given you. And I said, no, not really, Bob. Let me tell you. He said, wait a minute. He said, let me ask you a couple of questions and then I'll listen to anything you want to say. I said, all right. He said, did you ever come to me on that last project when you needed extra resources that I didn't approve the budget? I said, no, sir. He said, when you had to have that extra travel budget, he said, did I take care of that? Yes, sir. I just thought I'd tell you that my pockets will be just as deep on this project as they were on the last project. Now, he said, what was it you needed to talk to me about? I didn't have anything to ask anymore. I had nowhere to go anymore. May I say, God ain't never asked you to do something he wouldn't foot the bill for. He's never sent a soldier in without a gun and some bullets. I got good news, Paul said. God's well aware that there's a world that's dying in their sins and going to hell, and he's commissioned and called the church to seek after sinners, and if we're busy doing the business of God, then you can count on God's help. Amen. Then lastly, let me say by introduction, and not only did Paul receive help because of his deliverance and he wasn't disobedient, and because of the depraved multitudes, but he got help from God. He says in verse 21, because it was a dangerous mission. Amen. I'm telling you, verse 21, he said, for this cause the Jews caught me in the temple, and they weren't playing games. They went about to kill me. He said, had it not been, listen to this, had it not been for some pagan soldiers and a pagan government, he said, I'd have perished at the hands of my own people. They were set out to kill me, but the government of Rome interceded. Hallelujah. I just read this verse of scripture that said that the king's heart is in the Lord's hand, and he turns it whatsoever way that he will. Hey, I'm telling you, God has to raise up a pagan to protect his people in the midst of their work for him. God's well able, thank God. And I'm here to tell you this morning that though the task assigned is a dangerous mission, that there's perils on every side, and the scripture speaks about men that have hazarded their lives, and they stand in jeopardy for the gospel's sake. I got good news. God knows where you are. God knows what's going on, and God knows how to protect you and to keep you when you're busy in the business of God. I was listening to your choir sing this morning, and I jotted this down in my notes. You were singing, I know how I made it. I made it by grace. Hallelujah. Amen. You and I need to know how we made it. We made it by grace. And so Paul said, having obtained help, I continue. Amen. I'd have been on the way. I'd have been on the wayside a long time ago. I'd have been out of the ministry and out of the things of God, probably out of church. But thank God, hey, you need not put on your spiritual face this morning. There ain't a one of us from the pulpit to the back pew that could be anything if it wasn't for God. The devil set out to get you. The enemy has set out to get you. Your flesh has set out to get you. But having obtained help from God, we continue this morning 65 years because God has been our help. I want you to notice three things with me this morning. Number one, the scripture would imply that we continue presently. Now, I appreciate the fact that it's homecoming, and
that this morning we're looking back at 65 years of the history of Bible Baptist Church and the ministry of Bible Baptist Church, but I got good news. Church doors opened this morning. And the lights came on this morning. And I'll just go and say this, bless God. And there was a parking lot full of people. And on a rainy day, and I know that people are sick and battling the flu and this, that, and the other. But on a rainy day in the middle of the month of February, the house is just about full, and God's message is still going out. Thank God. You say, why, preacher? Because God decided to help us. Because God decided to help us, we're still here. And because God decided to help us, hey, don't get so caught up in the past. And we're going to look at that. But don't get so caught up in the past that you failed to look around you. And may I say, you ought to say thank God for 65 years ago when the Lord birthed this place. But you ought to say thank God on February the 15th at 2026. There's still a church. How many places in this county can you find churches that have three or four cars this morning? Or how many places this morning can you find that have compromised the truth, that have turned their colors, that have gone a different direction than how they started out? Somebody help me right there. But we're still here. Thank God. So as we consider the fact that we're continuing presently, it starts by a reflection of the past. Amen. We are a reflection of the past. I'm certain Brother Crampley finds himself in this situation. I know I do. I get called sometimes to go and preach, and usually it's one shot in the out. I mean, you know, you're done. I get it. Somebody said you take the ones. I do. Amen. And I've gone into congregations, sometimes there's a full house. Sometimes a handful, and I could have told you when I pulled in the parking lot, they're not really what I am. I'm not real sure why they called me. Somebody found my name. Somebody crossed paths with me, and I've gone in and preached, and it's a real good indicator. Brother Steve Goolsby, if you stand at the back door to shake hands, and a child comes by and says, "Why were you yelling this morning?" It's a pretty good indication that they don't normally get what you gave. Amen. Oh yeah. Amen. And I'm looking out, and you know why they had me, or why they'd have Brother Gravely or some of you other men. You know why they'd have you come? Because you're a reflection of the past. Because in that same congregation where that little old 8, 9, 10-year-old boy or girl came up, looks at me with those eyes that look like I've scared them half to death, and they say, "Why were you yelling this morning?" They'll be followed by a little lady or a little man maybe leaning on a cane with a tear in the corner of their eyes, and they'll say, it's been a long time since I heard preaching like that. That don't puff me up. They could have got a whole lot better preachers, but thank God I was able to give them a reflection. And what you are this morning, and the way the choir sang, and the choice of the congregationals, and the choice of the specials, all of that is a reflection of what you used to be. Amen. And I say thank God what you used to be. Was it God helped somebody 65 years ago, and somebody, God still helping folks in 2026. 1 Samuel chapter 7, the nation of Israel's in a mess. They cry out to Samuel because the Philistines have come against them. They've been in rebellion 20 years. Samuel said, "You can get right with God." And you know how the story goes. And they repented, and the Bible said Samuel called for a stone. And he set that stone down. I think it's Samuel, 1 Samuel 7 and 12. And he set that stone down in the middle of the way. And he looked at the nation of Israel, and he said, "We're going to call that rock, or that stone pillar," he said, we're going to call it Ebenezer because Ebenezer means hitherto. Hath the Lord helped us. That book that the preacher's talking about and the church has published, that's an Ebenezer stone. It's saying hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Amen. That memorial meal we'll enjoy in a few minutes, that's an Ebenezer stone. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I'm glad that if you look back from today for 65 years that you are an image, a reflection of the goodness and the grace and the glory of God. Amen. Hey, God helped us. It's a reflection of the past. Our present is a reality. Amen. You got to look around you and see what God's done. Paul, listen to this. In our text this morning, in Acts chapter 26, Paul's in bonds. He's being bound over at a sin to Rome. He has some liberty, we know that, but not full liberty. And despite the difficulty of the hour, he is taking advantage of the opportunity. He's standing before King Agrippa, and he's pleading with Agrippa on behalf of his soul. Amen. Look around you this morning. Look around you. I've come through the doors of Bible Baptist Church to know enough to know that on a normal Sunday, there's Sunday school classrooms full of children and adults and teachers that are pouring the Word of God into them. Bible college days and missions. And around the world this morning, there's missionaries that are where they are because of the consistency of Bible Baptist Church. How about evangelists that come out of your church? How about those that are around the world, around the southeast this morning? Pulpits are being filled. Sinners are being told. Saints are being helped in the present. Because you're still here by the help of God. And the psalmist said it this way. In Psalms 46 in verse number 1, he said, God is our refuge and strength. And he quotes a very present help in trouble. Thank God. Let me say this and I'm moving on. But sometimes the hardest place to see the hand of God at work in your life is in the present. Amen. And you and I can stand here and look back. Somebody said hindsight's 20/20. We can stand here this morning and look back and say, well, I remember that circumstance. I remember that need. I remember that situation. And I recall how God delivered or how he met or how he protected, whatever the case might be. You can see that because you're not in the mist of that. Amen. And what about the future? And that's point number 3. What about the future? Well, we have faith. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen. And the substance of things hoped for. And so in hope, we can stand and say, you know what? I just believe 5 years from now, God will still be God. God will still be meeting our needs. God will still be holding our hand. God will still be helping us. That's not real difficult. Our lives are that way. You say, what do you mean? Well, if you're saved this morning, there was a time in your life when you fully trusted Christ and allowed him to take care of your past. Amen. And I'm unshakable on that. Anybody with me? My sins are gone. They're forgiven. They've been washed away. That's the past. And to be honest, you're not going to shake me on the future. Amen. I read the last chapter of the book. Even so, John said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm anticipating his arrival. I believe it's nigh, even at the door. You're not going to shake me when it comes to believing the Lord is coming back to receive us and that heaven's going to be our home. But what about today? What about in the midst of the storm? What about when you're bailing water? because the boat's filling up. Amen. What about when the sails are tattered and when the sails are torn? Hey, I know what God did in the past, and I've got confidence that God's going to take care of the future. But I got good news. He's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever you have in your life today, God's in it. Whatever you're facing today, God's in it. I know sometimes in the midst of the storm, sometimes in the midst of our rebellion, sometimes in our sin, Isaiah, it had to be the death of Uzziah. And then he said, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. God didn't move in when Uzziah moved out. God was already there. He was higher than Uzziah, but he put his trust in Uzziah rather than he put his trust in God. And if we're not careful, we'll put our trust in self. We'll put our trust in our ability, our talent, our might, our thinking, whatever the case might be, even our money or resources. But I got good news. God's still God. God is still God. There's a reflection of the past. There's the reality of the present. And then there's the responsibility of the future. If God leaves, listen, if the Lord doesn't come back and God leaves Bible Baptist Church and we experience homecoming 66 at 12 months from today, God's gave us a job to do this year. Amen. This is, I've tuned in just once or twice in the last few days and watched some of those Winter Olympic events. I'm not a big follower, but I do enjoy seeing how far those boys can jump, how fast they can skate. Amen. And it reminds me what I can't do. Somebody say amen right there. And when the final competition is over, they call them up and they call it the platform. I watched one of those skaters, and he failed twice in his routine, and they said he's not going to make the platform. That meant he's not going to be a medal winner. No gold, no bronze, no silver. He's not going to get it. But those that win, when the competition is over, they have a medal ceremony. They got the platform set up. They get to wear their flag, and they come up and stand on that platform because at that point it's done. Yeah. Hey, we're not at the done part today. Are you with me? Amen. Hey, we're not resting on our laurels, as they say. We are just simply looking back and say, hitherto God's been present. Hitherto God's head. Hitherto God's came through. Amen. In the past, he was there. He's working in the present. And we've got a job to do. We've got to continue in the present because the future has a responsibility for you and I as believers. Amen. So we continue presently. Then write down number two, we continue with purpose. Amen. You know why these churches have gotten off kilter is because they lost their purpose. See, when the Apostle Paul heard the voice of God speak to him in these verses, when the Lord spoke to him, let me see if I can find that place. In verse number 16, God said, rise and stand upon thy feet, for I've appeared unto thee for this purpose. God had a purpose when he allowed Bible Baptist Church to be established in Rossville, Georgia. God had a purpose when he put it in the heart of a man to establish this church and a group of men to stand behind and support this church, and the buildings were built and the facilities were expanded and all the things that come along with that. God had a purpose. And the purpose in the life of the Apostle Paul concerning the continuation of his work is this. He said, I'm witnessing both the small and the great. The church that forgets her purpose is the church that will cease to exist. Oh, they may have a religious gathering, but it won't be a body. Amen. It won't be accomplishing anything. And the purpose of the New Testament church is clear. We are to be witnessing both the small and the great. There's no exemptions. There's no exclusions. Paul said, I'm continuing. What are you doing, Paul? I'm witnessing both the small and the great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Amen. You've got a purpose. I've got a purpose. Notice, I want you to see something. Paul had a purpose because he was a convert. Amen. He is a participant in the gospel. By the way, don't turn right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know the text. Paul said, I declare unto you the gospel. If you read those first couple of verses, Paul said, I preached it and I believed it. Amen. All he was saying was, I know what I'm talking about. All he's saying is, this isn't hearsay. I've been there. Amen. And that's what a witness is, by the way. If you weren't present at the event, you can't be a witness to it. Amen. If you hear, God forbid, but if you hear a loud collision and glass breaking and metal bending, and you run out those back doors and to go out and see what's taking place, and there's three or four cars mangled together out there on Tally. If you did that this morning, and somebody run up and said, he pulled out in front of me, or she pulled out in front of me, or no, I was there first, whatever the case might be, you can't go to court and testify. And the reason you can't do that is because you wouldn't a witness. Because when you get up there, the defending attorney is going to say to you, Mr. Smith, where were you at when the collision took place? Oh, I was in the church. So Mr. Smith, you weren't out on the street? No. You were inside the building? Yes. You heard the noise? Yes. Did you see with your eyes who hit whom or what direction they came from? Oh, no, I just went out and they told. That's hearsay. It doesn't do any good. It's not defendable. It doesn't reach a verdict. Paul didn't say, I'm just telling you what I heard. Paul's not telling you. He didn't say, I'm just telling you what happened in the life of Peter. I'm telling you what happened in the life of James. What happened in the life. No. He said, I'm telling you, I saw it myself. I was on the Damascus Road. The light shined on me. And we have a purpose. Listen to me. We have a purpose because we are a participant in the gospel. And because of that, we've been converted. We're saved. And if you're saved, it ought to be like fire shut up in your bones. And you ought not be able to be swayed. But you ought to be telling somebody about Jesus. He had a purpose because he was a convert. He had a purpose because he had a command. Amen. Verse number 16 doesn't sound like a suggestion to me. He said, rise, stand upon your feet. Amen. For I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in which I have appeared unto thee. I thought it's interesting. He said, rise. That idea of rise means to take action. He said, stand upon thy feet. That talks about stability. What Paul's speaking about, or what God's speaking to Paul about in that concept of stand, is he said, you ought to know what you believe and you ought to stand on it. And then he said, I made you a minister. That means be a servant. Amen. And so you see his action and you see his stability and you see his serving. And he said, if you'll do those things, you can be a witness both to the small and to the great. He said, I'm going to let you tell them what you've seen today. And he said, I'm going to keep on letting them tell you, let you tell them what you're going to see in the future. Amen. Hey, we've got a purpose because God has commanded us. We got to go do it, church, because God said to do it. Paul had a purpose because he was a convert, because he had a command, and then because he had a congregation. Look what he said in verse 22. He said, I continue unto this day witnessing to whom? Both to small and to great. There was no prejudice in the life of the Apostle Paul. He didn't pick the big ones or the little ones. Now, I know the Bible said that he knew how to witness to men of reputation. He said, sometimes you have to do that privately. That's still all right. Somebody help me right there. But in the end result, he was just as willing to witness to somebody standing on a street corner as he was a dignitary sitting upon a throne of judgment. And you see that in the life of Paul. And that is the purpose of the church. Amen. That is the purpose of the church, is to go out, and it does not matter if they're affluent or they're poverty stricken. Doesn't matter if their lives are full of addiction or if they're the upper crust of society. It doesn't matter if they can contribute or if they can't contribute. Those things are irrelevant. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. And we have a duty and a responsibility and to fulfill our purpose in being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a congregation. Then let me give you the last thought. Number one, Paul,
Number one, Paul said, I continue presently. We're still going on. Number two, he said, I continue in my purpose. We hadn't lost track of why we're here, what we're trying to accomplish. By the way, we're not entertaining. We're not making people feel good. God help us. Amen. Typically, if I get sick enough to have to go to the doctor, when I leave the doctor, I feel worse than I came. Amen. I'm a firm believer in chiropractic care. We use it all over the country. You may or may not like that. But usually if I limp in and I'm all stove up and I go in, by the time he or her, whichever one it may be, gets through twisting and turning me into a pretzel that I didn't think the human body was designed to be twisted into that shape, when I walk out of there, I'm hurting. But by the time you apply a little ice and you give it a little time to heal, I'm better. Amen. And I've gone into the house of God and had the preacher turn me upside down, shake me, twist me up like a pretzel, chew me up, spit me out, look me in the eyeball and tell me how low down, lousy and good for nothing I was, only to walk out those doors a little bit aggravated and a little bit hurt and a little bit hurt. Oh, but thank God, once you begin to make those modifications in your lifestyle, you found out that you got better. Hey, thank God. I'm telling you, we got to press on for the glory of God. We're not trying to make people feel better. We're not trying to entertain them. We're not trying to find those psychological points that cause them to respond. No, no, no. We're trying to get them under the Holy Ghost of God. There is a purpose. And then I just got to throw this in because I think it fits, especially at Bible Baptist Church. We continue presently. We continue in our purpose, but we continue preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. I know no reflection on the particulars of this morning's service as it falls. But your preacher said, and I know I'm at Bible, so please forgive me. I got one of those bulletins, but I didn't get a program. Now, I go to a lot of churches that still put the songs in, and I don't know. I have a hard time sometimes, Brother Gravely, praying far enough in advance to figure out what I'm going to preach. I get the call, preacher, what you preaching Sunday? Well, the Bible. I'll let you know when the Holy Ghost lets me know. Amen. And that's not always 2 days out. Sometimes that's 20 minutes in. I'm going to sit there going, they run back there and want to put it up on the screen or want to put it up on the video feed and all that kind of stuff. I'm fine with that. Don't misunderstand me. You wouldn't bother me if you tried to throw my outline on a board behind me. That's irrelevant to me. I'm not saying that. But I don't always know that far in advance. Amen? And here's what got me this morning. Now, the Lawsons weren't able to be here. Conflict in schedule. Those things happen. And the preacher got up and said, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Because he's trying to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And the choir did great, and then the youth choir did really good and did great as well. And he said, well, we had a family lined up, and they were going to sing, and I'm sure they were going to do a great job. I'm sure they had a song picked out. They were ready, but he said, it's time for preaching. Yeah. Not a reflection on Dwayne Moore. That's irrelevant. But the emphasis of the service, and if the service gets beyond preaching and the big preacher preaches, as we say sometimes, I'm okay with that. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, the focus of the church is still preaching. Say amen. That's exactly right. I'm glad that we got an Ezra pulpit. It's still a little bit elevated. I know some churches physically can't do that, but I'm glad that it's above the people. It's the center focal point of this building. It's not the stained glass window. It's not the decorum. It is this pulpit. And because the emphasis of the Bible Baptist Church for 65 years has been Bible preaching. And I got news, neighbor. God hadn't changed his mind and he hadn't changed his opinion. He still works through preaching. Loud, soft, long, short, alliterated, not alliterated. It don't make no difference if it's God's word, God's man, and God's spirit. It's just about preaching. Preaching. He continued preaching. Look at verse 22. It'd do us good to listen. He said, saying none other things. Amen. The text says,
saying none of the things and those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Put your parentheses right there, right footnote. He said saying none of the things but the Bible. Amen. None of the things but the Bible. The word Bible never had entered into the Apostle Paul's vocabulary. Don't get critical with him. He said what they told us in the Old Testament is what I'm preaching. And they were right in the New Testament, and it's done. And all we got to preach is Jesus and the Bible. Amen. We ain't got nowhere else to go. What are you going to count yourself? I understand illustrations. I understand things that catch people's attention. I'm all for those. I've been known to preach some object lesson messages through the years, but I'm telling you, it's about the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Amen. It's the Bible. Saying none of the things and those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Let me say, we continue preaching. We're proclaiming the scriptures. We have a foundation. Amen. Let me say that again. We have a foundation. I think that's the verse that's on the boards behind me, same verse I quoted. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Hey, can I tell you something? The reason that Bible Baptist Church is still standing and still serving and still preaching and the light is neither dim nor tarnished in 2026 is because the foundation was right. Amen. It was not built on a personality. It was built on the precepts of Scripture. It was built on a King James Bible. It was built on the truth of the Word of God that didn't need to be altered or changed or excused away or make some observation that it didn't really say what it was saying in the first place. But the last time I checked, God's big enough and smart enough to say what He wanted to say in the first place, and He doesn't need me or Dr. Bottle Stopper to fix what He didn't need to have fixed in the first place. Amen. Thank God. They had the right foundation to proclaim the scriptures. We continue preaching. They proclaim the Savior because they found grace. I just like verse 23. You say, preacher, what you preaching? He said that Christ should suffer. That's the crucifixion, His death, that Christ should suffer and that He should be the first that should rise from the dead. I got good news. Christ still saves. Amen. I'm finding a stopping place. I'm almost to the end. But let me tell you something. The pathway to Laodicea is thinking something is more important than Christ. Five churches in Asia Minor. All right? The last one, there's five. And then there's, I'm sorry, the fifth one is Sardis. And then you've got two at the end. You got Philadelphia and Laodicea. And I believe they're contemporaries. One's got God inside and one's got God on the outside. But the transitional church is Sardis. Now, if you look at those first four, they were struggling, suffering, persecuted. Huh? I didn't read anything about persecution at Sardis. They had a big political presence. They had a flashing marquee. They had bright lights. They had fancy programs. In fact, the Bible said they had a name that they were alive. But it wasn't about their name. The name that's not mentioned in that text is His name. Because God said they had a name that they were alive, but they were dead. The word dead in that context, because it's speaking about a body, it's talking about the body of a church, not about an individual. It's not talking about being lifeless, but rather it's talking about having no spirit. And so they were dead because they, watch this now, they did not have the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to like Brother Morse. You don't have to like my theology this morning, but I'll stand on it. I don't think you can get saved at Sardis.
Now, if we're live streaming, I got friends, Pastor Sardis churches. You know I'm not talking about your specific assembly. I'm talking about that one in the Bible. But I'm telling you, it is my persuasion, Pastor Gravely, you can't get saved at Sardis. Now, why can't you get saved at Sardis? Is it because Christ can't save? No, it's because they don't have no Holy Ghost. And last time I checked, you can have all the preaching you want, all the Bible you want, all the anything you want, but if you don't have the Holy Ghost, nobody gets saved without the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm talking about the pathway to Laodicea. You walk out of Sardis where it's all about us. You walk out of Sardis about our resources. It's about our resources. It's about our programs. It's about our passion. It's about our whatever. It's about our ability to connect with our community and be what they want us to be. God didn't ask us to be what they want us to be. God asked us to be what they need. There is a difference. Amen. There's a difference. And it's like the sick child. The sick child don't want the antibiotics and the chicken noodle soup. He wants a bowl of ice cream. But he don't need the ice cream. He needs the medicine. And the world's sick. And they're running around wanting us to pacify them and tap them on the head and pat them on the back and say, oh, it'll be all right. Honey, it won't be all right. They're damned. They don't get born again. They're going to hell. Sure as I'm standing in this pulpit. Amen. And the pathway to Laodicea is when something becomes more important and more central to your focus than Christ. Now, I don't exactly know how I'm going to explain what I'm going to say, but all seven of those were considered churches. And so they are bodies of believers. Or he wouldn't have wrote to them like he did. Right? But one group of believers stopped looking at Jesus and started looking at self. And then the next crowd came along. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. The church at Sardis still used the name Jesus. They just didn't have the power of Jesus. But the church at Laodicea found out the name of Jesus is offensive. Well, you know, that old-time religion, that old-time way, all that blood and all that gut and all that gore, oh, we can't have that. We're going to put Christ on the outside. He'll still be hanging around, but he's not in here. He's on the outside. I don't want to be part of Laodicea. I'm grateful for his mercy. He is still standing at the door knocking. Amen. But I don't want to be a Laodicean. I don't want Christ on the outside. I want him to be the center and the focus on the inside. Amen. That's right. We continued preaching and we proclaimed the scriptures. That's our foundation. We proclaimed the Savior because we found favor. And we proclaimed the shining. Look what Paul said in verse 23. He said, he talked about he's the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Amen. The world is a dark place, but Bible Baptist Church has light. Amen. And the way that light is distributed is the preaching, and you can put into parentheses the proclaiming of the Word of God. My focus is on pulpit work right this moment in the message, but the concept of preaching the Word is more than pulpit work. It's soul winner work. It's street corner work. It's telling a friend about Jesus work. It's gospel tract work. Somebody help me, amen. And I'm telling you, the light hadn't gone out. Amen. I said the light hadn't gone out. We're not to hide it under a bushel. We're to put it on a candlestick. We're to let it shine in the darkness. And you say, but Brother Moore, it's so dark. Honey, the light shines brightest in the midst of the darkness. Now they need us. Run where they are. Show them the way. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about heaven. Tell them about hell. Thank God for preaching. Amen. Thank God for preaching. I wonder how many of you in this building this morning sat under a sermon at Bible Baptist Church and the Holy Ghost convicted you. How many of you used to sit in one of those pews and one of those men of God spoke to your heart through the Word of God and you ran to the light and you got saved, saved, saved. Thank God for preaching. Thank God. The devil has fought us. But 65 years, so far, so good. The brethren have forsaken us. They're like Demas, having loved the present world,
But so far, so good. Our friends have attacked us because they're not what we are anymore. But so far, so good. Times have been hard, but so far, so good. Sickness has beset us, but so far, so good. Sickness, the burdens have been heavy, but so far, so good. We faced our trials, but so far, so good. Some days have been dreary, but so far, so good. Depression has surrounded us in the darkness, but so far, so good. And the journey has been long, but so far, so good. We lift our voice like Newton did. And we say, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. 65 years of grace, 65 years of truth, 65 years of the Bible. And let God be God, and let God see us through, and no telling what God wants you to do. But today we'll say, so far, so good. Stand to your feet, all over the house. Where's your hope this morning? Where's your hope? All over this building. I tell you what I'd do this morning, and I feel like maybe I need to appeal to sinners. Somebody unsaved this morning, be a good day. Be a good day. If the Holy Ghost spoke to your heart, be a good day for you to get in, get born again. Well, how about you, church? When's the last time? When's the last time you cleared your office spot and said, thank God for my church? Thank God. Thank God for this church. Some of you is nodding your head and raising your hands when I was talking about you got saved in this church. If you got saved here, man, I'd find me an altar this morning and say, Lord, I'm glad there was a light on the side of the way. And some of you thinking about quitting, changing course, going somewhere where there's less offense. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. That's Psalms 119, verse 165, by the way. I got that right out of the Bible. I'd fill this altar up, and I'd say, Lord, thank you for the church. And then I'd say, Lord, let me be faithful. Help me to be faithful. And then, Lord, I want to know what you want my life so that I can continue in my purpose, continue in my proclamation, continue doing the work and the will of God. See, when you're ready, so.